Welcome to Talk That Shit Podcast, where culture intersects with sports, politics, entertainment, and lifestyle.
Welcome back. Talk That Shit Podcast with your boy Freeze, with my homegirl Dandridge. What's going on with you?
I'm glad to be here. Long time no see. How y'all been?
I've been fantastic. I cannot complain, but I will later. Anyway, well, other homie G Kai, what's going on with you, bro?
Nothing happening over here. Just trying to be like you two when I grow up.
Man, nah, you know, it'd be like me, bro. Sure, I'm over here getting stuck in my arms like I'm doing Heron.
Stay away from the blue magic.
All I'm saying is, all y'all phlebotomists who can get on the first vein, y'all are a blessing and a godsend. That's all I got to say. I get my blood drawn like every 2 weeks, man. And you can tell the ones who are very good at their craft and the ones who aren't.
Well, I think life been life and for everybody. So it's been an absence. We ain't been together. Y'all miss me?
Oh, for sure. I was waiting on it.
I know you miss me. It's been ghetto out here. If ghetto was a person, this life that I'm living right now would 100% be in the picture. It is for sure ghetto. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be seen and not viewed.
That's a good one.
That was a double entendre on you. All right. Dandre Z here.
Listen, people dropping dead, people dropping out. I'm glad. I'm grateful. And this little hard life I'm living right now is going to have to turn around. So y'all just keep me in your prayers.
Oh, for sure. I feel you 100. I feel you 100. Dandre, I got a question to ask you, though. If your son, you know, 22 years old, rookie in the NBA, making money, you know. He's not a rookie. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A couple years in the NBA. Play, and he got with a reality TV star who's 39 years old. How would you feel about that?
So you're talking about the Drea and Jalen Green.
Yes.
Situation. And so Drea, obviously, from the Real Housewives. Was that what she was from?
I thought she was Basketball Wives.
Yeah, that's what it was. She had to mess with Twan, right?
Mm-mm.
No.
Who was it?
Evelyn. I don't know if she was ever intertwined with anyone. I think she was just a cute face that they were able to put on the show.
Nope, I can help you guys out. She has a child. She talked to Orlando Scandrick, who played defensive back for the Cowboys.
Okay.
They have a kid together. So she wasn't.
I don't know how you get on Basketball Wives.
Well, I'm just about to tell you. She wasn't technically a basketball wife, but she had also talked to an athlete, so that's why they put her on Basketball Wives. I don't think it was because that's the only notable athlete that she actually ended up really talking to. So I mean, prior to now, she's right. talking to she spoken to several, I think, since then. But I'm talking about prior to.
So, on International Women's Day, nonetheless, right? Drea reveals that she is expecting a baby girl with Jalen Green. Mm. If this were my son, I would not. I would be a warm sister for sure. I would be a warm sister. I would probably have contacted the Houston Child Protective Service agency. Like there would have been a lot of things that I would like. He's a he, Like, he's a victim. I know y'all know he's a victim, right?
I agree.
This whole, but what I also know is that these kids gonna do what they want to do, and it is not gonna matter. I also don't think Jalen has a black mom, and I'm not suggesting in any way that not having a black mom is contributing to this situation. But I do wonder if not having a black mom is contributing to this situation. I don't know. I live a refined life. I'm a upstanding citizen, but I probably would have had to go find somebody to whip Dre as an ass. She was trying to beat them myself. There's no possibility you about to have my 22-year-old son's baby. And this baby the same age as your son. And they gonna be like big homies.
You're right.
There's no way you would tarnish my family name like that. I mean, I wouldn't like go all Ray Caruth.
Yeah.
But the options would be on.
Hey, you talking about Ray Caruth? This is, sheesh.
I said I wouldn't go Ray Caruth.
No, I'm just saying the fact that you even were able to intertwine him into a sentence with this is... Go ahead. Hey,
because a lot of mothers feel that same way. That's why.
Well, his mother is Filipino, so to answer
you. I know she is. And I'm not suggesting that Filipino mothers are not all about their children. In no way, shape, or form am I suggesting that. I'm just wondering, is that a contributing factor to this? I want Gayle King to interview her.
Oh, yeah.
I need to know. I need to understand. And here's the thing. The innocence behind him and this alleged statement, he like, yeah, you know, she cool. They alleged he said she used to babysit him. And he's like, but that's my baby mama now. allegedly, they claimed she used to babysit him.
Okay, that's people clowning. Ooh.
No, Google. They allegedly, this is a statement that he made. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's allegedly a statement that he made. So, but you can just see that he doesn't understand the gravity of the decision that he's getting ready to make. He has no idea the impact of what he's getting ready to do and how it's going to shape and the narrative of his life going forward and that child's narrative of that child's life going forward. But to answer your question, I would be a warm sister for sure. I would be a warm sister
for sure.
But I don't know if I'm in the minority or the majority, because there are a lot of people that are like, men would have babies with young women all the time. No one says anything. Why is this a big deal now? Why is there a double standard?
Well, to answer the double standard thing, I think people have a problem with it too as well. But the reason why it's more, I guess, is notable is because, like, you watched her on TV. Maybe he hasn't, but people have watched her on television, and you know, and in interviews she said, oh, I don't date anything but ballers, and I want to have another baller baby. She said this in an interview last year. So I think that's kind of a difference. I mean, it's kind of like women having kids by Tariq Hill. Like, come on. How many you got? Six right now?
Man, Tariq Hill had like four kids last year.
At the same time.
I mean, he was like right up there with Nick Cannon on having them babies. And none of them was by his wife. Like, it was wild. That was wild.
Now he's being sued by a plus-size model who punked him during a situation in the backyard, and then he got upset and overpowered her and tore her ACL or something. Shattered her legs and shit. Yeah.
But I feel like people would look at men like that, you know, and women, you know, women would look like, you know, looking at that situation, like, you know that that's a dude that's finna get you pregnant and probably have nothing to do with you. I feel like, you know, she's trying to get pregnant to get your money. I feel like that's how women would look at it, like Tyreek Hill. That was my assumption.
So let me just say this. She actually did not babysit him when he was 12. That was a wow. quote that was made on an NBA parody page. That's like okay. a fake page. So that's not accurate. So that's good to know. Because I ain't going to lie. I was like, what? Wait a minute now.
Right. Right.
Like, that's a whole nother. But now let's talk about this. Because everybody, of course, is talking about the fact that they feel like it's a double standard. Meaning that if a guy was talking to a lady who was 22 and he was 39 or whatever the age difference is, that would be overlooked. Like it wouldn't cause the same stir or ruckus. So I feel like it's a double standard. Now, do you guys think so?
You heard my position. I don't think so.
I definitely think there's something to be said for men who only date extremely young women. I think that's been the attack against Diddy for all of these years, that he goes and dates these very immature, and it gives predatory in terms of his behavior and how he engages. If that were my son and he was 39 years old and he was getting ready to have a baby with a 22-year-old, I would be a warm sister. I still would not.
She would still be the same.
Yes. Because it just doesn't make sense. This person is a couple years removed from being in high school and you're almost middle age. Like, your life experiences will never allow you to align in parallel. So what are we doing here? This feels predatory. And I think that's why she got so much backlash from when she was even dating him. It's like, what are y'all talking about? Like, what are you talking about? What are y'all doing? He's like, what's happening here? Like, have you had a conversation with a 22-year-old lately? Like, this shit is painful as fuck. It is painful as fuck. First of all, they don't look at you. They don't talk to you. If you happen to call their phone, they get offended because their phone is always on D&D. Like, what are we doing here? Like, and so I think that's the issue. It's like, what's really happening? It feels like, I think that's the way society is looking at it. It feels like a money grab for her. Like, she just took advantage of this young man for the money, and that doesn't feel good.
And I'm not so it sure. On him she, you know, 39-year-old getting with a 22-year-old, she put that thing on her. That's what happened.
She probably didn't have to put much of a thing on him, but I don't.
Where you from? Where Jalen from?
California.
Oh,
yeah, he's from California.
And they different. They are different in California.
I think kind of around Sacramento, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Now, I just want to say one thing. I always say that I was born too early, you know, especially with these NIL deals and so on and so forth, and the way football is played now and basketball, where you can carry and take 17 steps. I'd have never been able to be stopped. Football, you know, you can't touch anybody. Life would have been marvelous. There are other things that, you know, I feel like we missed out on being born early. But one of the things that, you know, I would like to say that I hate that I missed out on too is, you know, I didn't have no fine teachers, but if I would have had one that wanted to do something to me in the classroom at 17, I would have said nothing.
I'm really glad that I'm really, really glad that you said that, because that's often the response of men when young men find themselves in these victim positions, because that's exactly what they are. And we make light of it and we joke about it. But
I wouldn't have been no victim.
I know you would have thought you would have, but that is still very much predatory behavior, and it's illegal, right?
It is.
Because you wouldn't say that
weed at 17.
Yeah, but smoking weed at 17, by and large, can be an independent decision where you're not unduly influenced by someone who has a power dynamic over you like a teacher. So that's a little bit different.
Okay.
When you're talking about someone who has an inherent power dynamic over you, we make light of it when boys are like, ooh, where were these teachers at when I was in school? But the reality is, this early transition into manhood and this like need to do all these sexual things is why we have this over masculine toxicity environment that we have today. And we really shouldn't make light of it because it's not funny. Anyone that finds a child attractive and sexually asserts themselves with them is a pedophile and should be in jail. I don't care if the teacher is fine as fuck. If you're a 16-year-old kid and that person is a certificated teacher and an adult, there is no scenario where they should ever find anything about you attractive or worthy of that. But let's keep laughing about it, but it's not funny. If that was my son and a teacher was coming for him, I would beat that bitch ass.
But what I'm saying
she turned from a warm sister to a hot sister. Yeah,
that's true. I'm saying in my case, you would not have known. I would not have said it.
I wouldn't say that either, to be honest with you. I'm just being honest about it.
But I'm saying, Dandridge, this is the difference in... I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I'm still saying the difference in generations are, one, our teachers, unfortunately, they didn't, or fortunately, like our teachers looked like... I can't remember one teacher that I had from first grade through high school that I even fucking remotely thought was like, damn.
Oh, no, I had some fine ass teachers. No.
You did. I'm just telling you. But you are also younger than us. So I'm still telling you that in our, you know, I ain't saying you drastically, but you are younger than us. So
decades for sure.
Not that. So, but I'm still saying there was a difference because by the time when you were in school, it had become trendy again to become a teacher. So you had younger individuals who had started going back into the teaching profession. When I was in school, my teacher that was 28 looked like she was 48. And that's the honest to goodness truth. The youngest teacher I had was Miss Bridges. If you're listening to Ms.
Bridges,
I'm
sorry. But you were also educated in a parochial environment.
That's correct. Too.
And so I think that's going to tilt the scales a little bit in terms of what you probably were seeing in the public school sector.
Well, but right? Yes and no. So that's different. Yes and no. So for instance, I agree in terms of what you're saying and what I experienced. But like, so my mother was a Detroit public school teacher, right? So I would go to school with her, or not with her, but I would go there a lot, right? So I knew a lot of the teachers, or a lot of the teachers knew me. And I'm not trying to say there wasn't one young teacher in the whole building, right? Or they weren't a couple, but there was definitely not a plethora. Like, everybody else was Miss Hogg, Miss Maul, and they looked exactly like their names.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now, like I said, when you came along, a little bit different scenario. So I guess that's probably why, like, even like, not to make light of it, like you said, it's still a bad situation. But what I'm saying is there were no teachers who were even remotely close in age to us. So we didn't have like I wasn't 17 and had a 23-year-old teacher. You get what I'm saying? Or a 24-year-old teacher who was freshly removed from college, in which case now you do probably look at them a little. I mean, I'm saying as a young boy full of testosterone and everything else, and as soon as you see a boob move, you think it means jump on them, then of course you're going to look. But that was rare back in the day. Not that it didn't happen, but it was rare. Very now, rare. What was more prevalent was, there you go. Now, that teachers. Did happen. The male teachers talking to the young girls, yep. Definitely.
All but, the time.
But female teachers talking. But I'm saying that happened on a regular basis. Like, but and that was, and that's wrong too. I'm just saying the flip didn't occur back in the day. Whereas now you see a lot of it the opposite way around, which is just absolutely crazy to me. So as a perfect public service announcement, I do not condone the the solicitation or taking advantage of a minor.
I just think we need to normalize the idea that men or young men in this particular instance can be victims, right? We don't like to normalize that. And like real harm happens. To imagine a scenario where you have lost whatever your virginity, or you're having an experience with a 39-year-old woman and you 21, 22. I mean, I get it. I get that it may be every young boy's fantasy, but I don't know if it comes with all the bells and whistles and none of the scars that people anticipate. Think about it. He's getting ready to have a baby with someone. What is she? 22 years his junior?
No, I thought she's 39. I think
so 17 years his junior. Oh, he's 22. Yep. And now you have to figure out, because let's be honest, they're not going to get married. Like, this isn't turning into a Mary Kay Letourneau, right? Like, that's not getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to have to figure out how to co-parent. But he has a whole life to live with him. Mm-hmm. Like, a whole life ahead of him. At some point, he will meet someone of his age and disposition and want to marry. And, you know, it feels predatory to me. It does.
But you're also making the assumption. You're saying, like, let's just talk. We're talking about from a sexual standpoint now. This is his third year in the NBA. And he plays in Houston. Mm-hmm. So he has been getting sucked and fucked on for quite some time now.
I think you're making an assumption. I don't know that to be true.
I do.
I don't know that to be true.
I do. Yeah, I do. You don't have to play in the NBA or be 20 or 22 to have that happen to you in Houston. So
that can happen to you in Boise, Idaho. I mean, I'm
not like
just saying.
Not like it can in Houston.
Okay.
Houston, Atlanta, Vegas is a real thing. It's a real thing. Trust me. Actually, no, don't trust me, but it is a real thing.
Well, I don't know. What do you think about it, G? Do you think this, what's your take on it?
It's odd as hell, yes, because she's that much older. But, you know, she's that much older, but she doesn't look like it, right? So let's just call a spade a spade. So, and there are a lot of girls that look like her in Houston. So I'm just going to say that too. So I don't. It's odd. Would I advise it? No. Would I be like, hey, man, that's a good look for you? No, I wouldn't. But in the grand scheme of things, that's not the first. If we want to call her a gold digger, this isn't the first, nor is it the last that he will encounter. So a lesson needs to be learned. So you actually might be better off learning said lesson with the one that's supposed to be older and more mature, as opposed to it being another 23-year-old, a 24-year-old who really might try to just take you fully to the bank. Now, that's all speculative on my part. So I don't know. I wouldn't, if he was my son, I would be like, what the hell are you doing? Messing with them old ass ovaries. But but that's me. Okay. And everybody's different, you know. Maybe he
whipped it out.
We were talking about, you brought up his mother. So she may not have an issue though, because we started talking about culturally, right? Mm-hmm. And this is probably taboo, but it is what it is. You got 50-year-old dudes and older who fly over to the Philippines on a regular basis. To try to get them a little 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. So maybe from that perspective, from his mom's standpoint, maybe she don't see that big a deal of it, because that's, you know, from a Philippine perspective. I'm not saying that it's right, but I mean, y'all know I'm telling the truth. There are guys that go over there specifically to talk to young, underage chicks.
That's true.
That's their sole purpose. They not going over there to see the countryside or surf, to check out the beach, to experience the food. They looking for a young Filipina chick that they might be able to spend $30 on.
Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. Like, whether I had a guy told me who was retired. Retired from one of the big three, you know, auto companies. Said, hey, man, look, man, I just got back from over there in the Philippines. I'm about to head back over there, man. You know, for $200, you can get a whole lot. And them young girls, they come over to the house, man, they'll be feet. They'll do everything for you. I'm like, that wouldn't intrigue me, but for them, it does. So all I'm saying is, just like if we look back to how things used to be, even in the African-American community in the South back in the day, ladies used to get married and start having kids. Not that I agree with it, at a very young age. They might be like 15.
10 or 12.
Might be, I'm just saying, they might be 15 and had a husband who was 34.
So I don't disagree with that, but I think that we have, as a society, advanced from that, and our social norms no longer allow, and I think our legal norms no longer allow for 14, 15-year-old women or young girls to get married, right? And I think there may be good cause and good reason and rationale for that. I get it. I get culturally it may be different. I have no idea. I don't know this young man. Maybe if it wasn't her. I think that's the point that Freeze was making. Like, she's come out and stated, this is what I'm doing. This is my plan. The man is the plan, right? I think had it just been some genuine thing that developed over time and we were none the wiser, people would feel different about it.
Exactly.
I think because of the disposition of the person, I think that is what makes it feel grimy to people.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that's the griminess behind it. Yeah. But hey, her man is her plan. I'm about to start working on my OnlyFans. I'm about to start getting flued out. A man gonna be my plan too in 24. Yeah.
So like I said, so she became She dated Tyrod Taylor, who plays quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
And she dated Orlando Scandrick. So that's why I said Orlando, who played for the Cowboys, defensive back. So that's how she rose to quote unquote, you know, IG prominence or anything else was from Orlando Scandrick and then Tyrod Taylor. That was before she talked to Jalen. Yeah.
I just wonder what the conversation is like. I'm curious. I don't know.
Man, I know I couldn't decipher it. I know that.
Yeah, it's probably interesting. Well, no, it's not interesting.
I'm about to say, no, it's not.
No, it's probably not interesting at all.
I mean, I was a smart kid. I was probably wise beyond my years when I was 22. I was still no match for a 39-year-old. No, I mean, I just wasn't. That a man that was 39 when I was 22 would have had me outside in the summer in a snow stoop. Like, it's just, that's just what it was.
I do not believe that.
Oh, 100%. Because that's the thing. You just got, like, people underestimate the power of just time and wisdom and experience.
True.
When you don't have experience, you don't know what's happening, you outside in the summer in a snowsuit because you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. Over time, you learn that, right? You be like, well, wait a minute. I've had this experience. I felt this before. I know what this is. I'm only going outside in my bathrobe this time because the last time he had me outside in a snowsuit. Right. So you don't have the experience. You don't have it. And you can't get it other than just by getting it. Okay. And that's the power. Yeah, that's the power dynamic when you have these relationships with this age discrepancy like that. It's just no match.
Yeah.
It's just no match. I probably couldn't. I mean, at some point it becomes diminishing, right? If you're 40, you could probably date a 55-year-old.
Right.
If you're, right, you've lived enough life.
Life when to do 20, that, right.
Yeah, when you're 20 and you dating a 40-year-old,
you ain't lived
there's no
life.
Possibility. Yeah. And don't let the 40-year-old have no money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's curtains.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that.
And it's curtains. It's no different than young Miami who's sitting up here thinking she's in control of this relationship that she has with Diddy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have zero control. Mm-hmm. Zero. She has zero control in that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you said is accurate. I just took issue with the fact that you said would have had you out there, because I know that you would not have allowed that to happen. Because as first soon as they said, "Hey, I need you to go outside in the summer with this snowsuit," you say, "So what you're telling me is it's 85, and you want me to put on a snowsuit? What does that look like? Explain to me what that looks like and why I should do such a thing when it's 85 degrees outside."
I'm glad you said that. You want to know why you're saying that? Because you met me at an age where I've learned to ask those questions. Because I was outside in a fucking snowsuit before. So you get the benefit, or in your case, the detriment of me had that experience.
Yes, detriment.
To be like, detriment.
Benefit.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, it's not a benefit. I get it. I know you missed it. Don't act like you didn't miss it.
Ain't no benefit.
But I'm detriment. Today, you know, my wiser, older self, I'm asking all the questions.
For sure.
She's
not getting the white van for the candy no more.
I'm not getting nobody van for the candy. 20 years ago, you got a Snickers? Open up.
Hey, 20 years
ago, she still would have said, "Is that a peanut Snickers or a regular Snickers?" I am not certain that I like the way that it is wrapped. It appears as if it has been handled several times. Therefore, I am advising my inner self not to take said candy bar and enter the white van. Please have a good day, sir.
I will readily admit I was smart. I think most of the girls that grew up in and around like my neighborhood was, you just had to have a certain level of common sense when you grow up in the hood. Yeah. It's just what happens. So oftentimes you're like, okay, that looked like some bullshit. I'm on to the next. But when you're navigating relationships, that bullshit meter takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
The whisper meter is louder, right?
Yeah, I'm just talking shit.
You whispering all this in my ear, and I'm like, damn, I know he lying, but he cute.
And don't let him have no money.
Yeah, and don't let him have no money. Yeah. Well, you got some money?
Yeah.
Okay. It ain't really that hot outside. Let's see. All right.
Oh, man.
I mean, the snowsuit ain't that bad. I wanted to lose 5 pounds. So it's 85. Put this little snowsuit on. Lose a couple pounds. I'm winning, right? That's how you talk yourself into it. It's a win-win for me. I make him happy. I lose 5 pounds. Deal.
Dandridge, you've always been analytical, so stop this. Stop this bullshit.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
I have always been.
You never would have been like, yeah, well, I might be able to lose 5 pounds in the snowsuit. That never would have been said.
Well, okay, so for y'all to call me the literal one.
12-year-old Dandridge would have been like, I'm sorry.
What Dandridge is saying, she's making herself vulnerable, saying that, hey, she may have fell for it, but me and you and I both know she wouldn't have fell for it.
For the opium.
Right,
so
right.
If I was in a dynamic, if I was 20, 21 years old, with a 39, 40-year-old man who just had the power dynamic of life on top of me.
But hold up. Didn't you, haven't you had in high school, have a...
That's why I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah, and I still know that you didn't do nothing crazy.
Oh, but I did crazy.
See? Okay.
See, that's why, I mean, it's levels to it for sure. All right. 100%. That's all I'm saying. It's levels to the crazy.
So you saying, because I got to transition to Risa Tisa didn't find none of those red flags. Like, you know, because he was older. But he wasn't that much older. What was he?
They were pretty much the same. Same age, a little bit okay. Different. Yeah, yeah.
But
Risa Tisa.
Yes.
Risa Tisa, Reese's Pieces, whatever the hell you want to call it. I immediately was taken aback in video number one when I saw what the hell she had on her head. I'm like, what is going on here? She looked like she was in the episode of Star Wars where they were trying to get her ready. And I said, what in the world is this? And so I listened. I listened to the first episode. I will admit to everyone, I did not listen to the next 375 episodes.
Me neither.
Because I have a life that I need to
attend
to.
Yeah, my life is ghetto. It ain't set up to me to pay attention to not too many things for long, but I got the cliff notes.
Yeah, so I know pretty much what happened, you know, because after a while, there's certain things that you don't even need to, you don't even need to watch them.
Right.
Last Dance. No need for me to watch that. I've heard everything now. So, see? No need. So, but in this case, well, I just don't. First of all, there were so many things that she said that should have immediately. So, she's not young, Dandy. So, how about that? So, she's not young.
But I never said. But
the banana in the tailpipe.
Hold on. I didn't necessarily... Young isn't the only qualifier. Really, the qualifier is being inexperienced.
Inexperienced.
It's the experience that is the determining factor. It's not necessarily being young. Because if she was raised, you know, in a closed home and you only went out to go to church, she gonna get it how she lived the first moment she get out the gate, whether she 20 or 40. Is the determining factor really is about the experience. That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying when I was 20, I didn't have the experience. But I get your point. Keep going.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. So she, throughout the course of these, like I said, 372 episodes, she points out numerous things that this gentleman who she calls Legion, I forget what his actual real name is, like, things that he said and did, and they just, none of it lined up. It's like, you just kept going deeper in the rabbit hole with evidence to the contrary. So, in the grand scheme of things, it's almost like, you gotta be an idiot. Now, I'm not gonna call her an idiot. Because, yes, she could have, you know, she could have been searching for something. And which we know she was. I'm talking about from a love perspective. And she felt like this was her opportunity. So she overlooked some things that she, well, in this case, I can't even just say she overlooked some things that she should have.
A lot of
for
shit.
For the relationship. I mean, she brought up the fact that I guess the first time they met, well, I won't go into all of that because a lot of people know about that the first time they met. But anyway, he told her that he played football at San Diego State, and that he was working now, but he was well-to-do for the most part because he played arena football and he had saved quite a bit of money while playing arena football.
No.
Now, I will debunk some of these later. I'm going to keep talking first. So, he also had a apartment by his job, did not have a home, had an apartment by his job. What else? What were some other interesting tidbits or factors or facts that he mentioned? Oh, he wants her car. So the first time they met, her car broke down, right? Or she had a flat tire, he changed the flat, blah, blah, blah. And then she said she was talking about how bad the tire car was. So he took her to all of these high-end, they're like, hey, you need to get yourself a BMW. You know, we need to get you a Beamer or, you know, a Mercedes or blah, 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 right? So they went looking at all these spots. Now, mind you, your husband starts taking you to all these places and you're looking at all of these cars. You're looking at nothing but BMWs, Mercedes, you know, high-end vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. And you pick out the one you want. And then he comes home with a Hyundai Sonata.
Is that what happened, though?
Yes, not a Sonata. I'm exaggerating on the exact car, but yes.
Oh, man.
So she was like, oh, man, well, that's kind of odd. I had been looking for a BMW, and then he ended up with a such such. I think the shit might have been used, too. Wasn't even brand new. But then I guess they go house hunting, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking at houses in the $720,000 range. You've never verified whether this man even has that much money in the damn bank.
She trusts her man, G. She just trusts her man.
So that's just a few of the things. Now he finally jumps on and does a rebuttal podcast or not podcast, but he gets on with the guy that's the podcast. He interviews him. And he's like, yeah, the only reason I really came out, I wasn't going to say nothing is, you know, this started affecting like my brother and my niece and people, you know, people saying stuff to him.
They didn't know who the fuck you was.
Thank you. You're not that famous. Nobody is running up on you because you sold Risa Tisa a dream and got her a Hyundai Sonata. And you said you amassed a fortune playing arena football, which, by the way, everybody out there, from the former athlete, is not fucking possible to amass a fortune playing arena football. Kurt Warner was a star in the Arena League before he became an NFL quarterback. Kurt Warner made $40,000. So if you... and by the way, he says in this podcast, yeah, I was in the Arena League. I didn't even play. I sat on the bench, but I saved my money, man. My father and my uncle taught me to save my money because they said after this is over, you know, what you gonna do? So make sure you save your money. He started off well, and I'm gonna stop talking a second, but as you can say, this really burns my grits up.
Grind your gears.
Grinds my gears. He started off very believable. Like I'm saying, like if you were to meet this dude and he started talking, you'd be like, oh, okay. Like he sounded like he know what he's talking about. But then, oh, I forgot. She went to look up his transcripts that too. And there was no record of him at San Diego State. No record whatsoever. He told her. I'm a private citizen, so I've listed myself as a private citizen. Therefore, there's no way my records cannot be given out. Right. So all I'm saying is, you wanted love really badly because the shit that he was saying was just so stupid that for you to believe it, it's almost like let's just say this. We all got a friend or somebody we know
that lies.
That just lie their ass off.
Yes.
It just lie their ass. I'm talking about lie their ass off.
Yes.
You know? And then whatever you say, they gonna have a lie for it. Right?
Right.
You can be like, man, I went fishing yesterday. And hell, I went fishing. Man, I caught the rarest bluegill ever. They're going to be like, man, that's crazy. This one time, I was in New York. I bumped into Samuel L. Jackson. At which point in time, he told me about a spot up in the Catskills that ain't nobody ever seen before. So He had his private helicopter, and I was like, I don't really want to go with you, nigga. I don't know you like that, but he was cool. So we got in a helicopter. We flew to that Catskill. Man, guess what? Guess what?
What?
I caught 2 dolphins, but I kept them. And then sold them to SeaWorld. They there right now. They perform, and I get a cut. Every time they jump through, they hit that ball. And it was crazy. So that was my, I was like, damn, that's when I kind of started fishing, really. Like, so I know what you mean about catching the rare bluegill, because they said nobody had never caught no dolphins before. And you just listen, because you'd be like, that, sir, is a lie.
You know, the fact of the matter is the audacity of them telling it to you and looking you in the face with a straight face. Oh. That'd be the audacity.
That's why you all need to watch him. You all need to watch his. Because he sits there and he says, yeah, yeah. So the guy asked him, he was like, well, hey, why is there no photos of you or anything playing football? I said, he was like, well, man, I went on a partial scholarship. He was like, and I played well. He was like, and like I said, it's a private university, so they're not allowed to get things out. Okay. So as I said, anybody that's even been a walk-on somewhere got right. A picture of them in a uniform. Yeah. I guarantee you, they can at least prove mm-hmm. that they played on the team. You can pull up a media guide. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, if what he said was true, they could not have even put your name on the back of your jersey, you jackass.
Right, right.
Oh, like, think about that.
I'm about to tell you something.
And you don't say that with a straight face.
Hey, listen, I'm about to tell you something. I'm about to tell you something funnier than that, G. I'm sorry, Daddy, but I got to say this. Dog, you said he went to San Diego State, and it's a private university. It's a state rich
state school.
Like, exactly. No one missed a, they missed a lie right there. Yeah, it's a private right. institution. It's San Diego State. That shit ain't private.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
what were you
going
to say, Dandridge?
Yeah, Dandridge.
Well, I think I was just simply stating, I think this underscores the point that we've been making, like, and we've really just been talking about it. Like, she was just desperate. Right. She was in this desperate space of an inexperience for sure and wanting to be married and in love and all the things that we see and hear about. And so because of that, she just buried her hand in the sand and was like, all right, this is what it is. Because I didn't watch the whole thing because, again, my life is ghetto. But I can't recall or even he didn't take anything from her. It wasn't like the it wasn't like the Tinder swindler, right? Where they just made us take people's money. Right. So it was like, what was the point? Was he just like a sociopath that just got off of creating these ideals that he knew he never was going to come forth with? Like, that's wild.
But I wouldn't even told a story like if I was her. I mean, granted, she's making money off of it now.
Yeah, she making money off of it now.
This is embarrassing. This is not like, girl, let me warn you. No, you just stupid.
But that's like, I mean, this is sort of like, I feel like, and this is completely off the subject, but there is this finance reporter that writes for the New York Times and does like all this personal finance. And she just wrote a whole article how she got swindled out of $50,000 because the CIA called her and was like, you got to put this money in a shoebox and we come to pick it up right now. And if you don't do it,
no,
like, and you
know,
I'm not lying.
Oh my god,
this lady, she's the whole money columnist for the New York Times, and literally got a call from somebody purported to be the CIA, went to the bank, withdrew $50,000 in cash, like to the point where the bank came to her and was like, listen, this is probably not real. Like, this is probably, and she was like, yeah, it's real. They, like, the CIA is coming to get the money. They're going to hold it for me in a safe house. Like, they're going to hold it for me. And she was like, it's real.
It's crazy. It's
funny. And I just think when you're in them spaces, when you
how
just want it,
she?
Like, you just want it. I don't know. She's a New York Times personal
finance. We got to look this up later, because that's crazy.
She, She got, I mean, read it. She put $50,000 in a shoebox. Like, literally, she said she was on the phone with the CIA, and the CIA did a three-way call and brought in the FBI on the three-way.
I'm not bullshitting you.
Like, look it up.
I need to know her name because I have.
I'm about to look it up right now. I'm gonna tell you.
Oh my God.
But my point is, she came out and people were like, "Oh my God, you're so stupid! Right. Like, why would you tell this story?"
Because no one has any shame anymore. There is no such thing as shame anymore. That's why.
I think her thing was like, if I could get swindled, anybody could get swindled. No. I do this for not that a living.
Not in this case, ma'am. Ma'am, not in this case.
Hey, oh my God.
Can you imagine being the dudes on the people on the other end?
I'm wrong. She's not the New York. Is she New York Post or New York Times? She's one of those. Mm-hmm. Her name is, I'm about to give you her name right now. Like, it happened. A finance advice columnist for the New York Post admitted she was scammed out of $50,000, who claimed he was a CIA agent and ordered her to stuff a shoebox full of cash and hand it to a courier in a white Mercedes. Her name is Charlotte. Her name is Charlotte Cowles.
Charlotte Cowles. Listen.
Yes, and the article was called "The Day I Put $50,000 in the Shoebox and Handed It to a Stranger."
CIA do not ride up in white Mercedes.
And they was all tinted, and they told her not to look that way. You can't look at the driver. Keep your head down.
Oh my God! Y'all got me choking over here. Oh man! Oh my goodness!
So like I said, can you imagine the people who were running it? They were like, dog, this shit is working. they like, hold on. They were like, hold on. Ma'am, you need to put $50,000 in a shoebox and hand it over to a courier. And she was like, okay. I would have been laughing like you. I wouldn't have been able to go through with the scam.
Well, hold on, because what they also told her was her social security number, her home address, the name of her family members, and that her 2-year-old son was playing in her Brooklyn living room at that time, and that they were watching her, and that her laptop had been hacked and she was in imminent danger, and they were there to save her.
Then they supposed to come to your fucking house. I watch FBI too much.
They ain't gonna call you and ask you for no money to save you.
Right?
What the hell?
You have $50,000.
I'm just saying it's in the article.
Okay, wait to read that shit later. Oh my God,
it can happen. I mean, please. But as you read it, it's like so. Like, first of all, the CIA ain't calling.
Right. Right.
So when you get the first. It was like the first call was like Amazon or something. Mm-hmm. And then the Amazon, like you had like, I don't know. It was like a fraud call from Amazon. And then quote unquote, Amazon transferred her to the CIA. Like, it was wild.
Okay.
It was wild.
That makes it amazing.
I would never tell you that story. No, I have shame. That's why. I had no shame in other stuff, but I have shame in that.
Reese Teases is just as bad. Like, because at least Charlotte's was one scam. My man kept telling her, he kept going and going and going and going.
But I don't understand. Like, what did he get from her?
He never got anything.
She said, oh, please. That just turned my whole stomach. Oh,
she's not
gracious.
An unattractive woman. Stop it.
Everyone,
I have always been the outspoken one on here. She's not fucking attractive.
I didn't say she's attractive. She's not unattractive.
I've seen unattractive. She's not unattractive.
I wouldn't per se.
First of all, I don't want to hear that, Dandridge. Women are always like, no, my girl is nice. She really is. Like, she's so beautiful. As soon as y'all start talking about she's so pretty, when they lead with this phrase, you know you got a problem. She was first in her class. She does really well at work. She dresses nice. She's the nicest person I know. She'll do anything for you.
She ugly as hell.
She's going to look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame when you see her.
So that's probably not true, because that could have easily been a characteristic ascribed to me. Do I look like the Hunchback?
What I am trying to tell you is,
that's not how they're going to say it.
That is not, that's not, you don't lead with those.
Nope.
You say, really pretty. She's beautiful. And
oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I knew it.
Uh-oh.
It's on tape. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
It is. I wasn't talking about you, so put that out there. So now it's all. Now we got it all. Now it's all on tape. Now, as I was saying, that would be the lead in for someone other than yourself. That
Oh, boy, I swear.
That would be the lead in. And then you would list the other attributes. That's the same with, so somebody was saying, you know, dudes do that too. Like, I mean, like, no, dudes, a dude will have a homeboy that's not that attractive, and they'll still be like, oh, my home. I said, nope, that's not true. I was like, think about it. I say not to use the word. Like, I mean, guys, not to be on some, homophobia stuff, but like men, we also know if your homeboy like got it going on to a certain extent, and if he doesn't, you're gonna be like, hey, my boy Rick got that bread,
right? Got that bread.
Rick got that bread, man. He got 5 rides.
He dressed nice.
He got 2 boats. Dressed nice, man. He a wine and dine you.
Right.
You gonna see Rick. Rick might look like McGilla Gorilla.
And the first thing you go say is, he got that bread, though.
Yeah, as I said. That's the lead in. If it's not the case, they're going to be like, hey, nah, you look my guy. You like my guy. He, shoot.
Right.
Like, even if you don't want to, like, because this is what dudes say, because they don't want to say he handsome or he attractive. Right. They like, oh, he get women. Right. Oh, he get women. Like,
he get bitches.
He get women. So that's the quantifier or the qualifier to let you know that he is attractive, or they at least think that he is. Oh, he get women. He get bitches. No, for real. They don't say nothing about he has a good job. He makes money.
Nah, they ain't gonna say that.
It's what it means. I don't even know how we got on that, but it is what it is. Because Risa Tisa, while she is not the worst looking lady ever, I can also see how she would fall for those types of lies seeking companionship. Is that better?
Oh my God.
Is that better?
That's actually worse. Like, that's actually demonstrably worse. So, no, you want to try again? Because that's terrible.
How is it worse?
Because what you're insinuating is because someone of her stature, size, looks, she's more likely to be desperate and to fall for something like that. As if that don't happen to pretty girls.
Well, it's on tape. Free, she said it. Don't take. Dana just said it. I didn't say it. And it's on tape.
Oh man.
You said I was beautiful. We could end the podcast right now. So thanks for coming out. God bless. Good night.
Oh man. Yeah. It's great to be back. I missed y'all. I needed this, man. I know people are like, hey, don't y'all have a podcast? Now we can have an episode up. Nigga be like, oh yeah, y'all still do that shit. All right, no doubt.
Yeah.
Since we ain't made a TikTok yet.
You know what? Us making a TikTok is about to be like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel, where he always like, oh, we ran out of time for Matt Damon tonight. You know what I'm talking about? He always be like, he's supposed to be like, you know, they always, it's a spoof that Matt Damon's supposed to be a guest on Jimmy Kimmel every night. And every night he'd be like, oh, sorry, we ran out of time for Matt Damon. Maybe we get him on tomorrow.
That's how I did with TikTok.
That's us with this TikTok now. Like, yeah, be on the lookout for the TikTok.
For sure. And don't forget, y'all can find us at Talk That Shit with 3 H's on Twitter. On X, Facebook, and Instagram. Get at us. Tell your friend about us and everything. Any shouts out, Daniel?
Nope. I'm just happy to be here.
Me too. G,
and I'm really excited that G called me beautiful. Thank you for making my life.
You're welcome for nothing. Yes.
It's on tape, sir. Like, it's on tape. Okay. Everybody's going to hear it.
Yeah, they will also hear the retraction right afterwards. But what I am currently doing, I only have one thing to say. I am currently researching Mrs. Cowles. I will be sending you two guys your roles in our scam shortly. Because if we can get 50,000 from her off of that.
Right.
And she writes about money scams. Like, that's her. They pay her to do that at the New York Times, wherever she is, New York Post. Like, that's what they pay her for.
Yeah. I will be coming up with, like I said, roles here shortly. Don't you worry. I'll email everybody. We will practice our parts. And then we will go forth.
We will be laughing. So we gotta practice so we don't laugh.
We'll practice. Goodness gracious. We're gonna start low. We're gonna go for 15,000. That's enough.
Nah, man, we gotta go
50 is a tip off for. We gotta start with something light. We gotta tell her we got her cat held hostage. It's gotta be something like that. Because you gotta say stuff that's obvious. Like, I'm watching you. Your cat's currently sleeping. The likelihood of that being right is damn near 95%. Right. She's like, fuck, the cat is sleeping. They do see me. They see me.
Oh, man. All right, man.
Tyler, they knew that the cat was sleeping. Hurry up. They said, put $5,000 in a Ziploc sandwich bag. Please include fruit snacks so that we know it's really you.
Oh, my God. All right, man, we got to go.
Take it to the giant slide. And put it in a croaker sack. I believe it. Nobody knows Twinkle's sleeping schedule. The fact that they knew that Twinkles was sleeping, they see us. Tyler. Oh, no, man. Don't get the big Ziploc bags. They said the small sandwich bags.
Yeah, we out. Just together, y'all.